absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
This is show number 78 of Absolutely Intercultural, which this time is coming to you from Denmark. My name's Anne Fox, and in this show, we'll be looking at language as identity.
The language is our identity.
Yeah.
And our culture, everything is buried in that language. And if we lose that language, we lose a lot of our self-identity.
And the role of music in preserving traditions.
We make love to the sound of the ocean.
We make love to the sound of the ocean.
Do you want to do that again?
We've had a couple of comments too, and there'll be a reminder of the Intercultural Management Institute's 10th anniversary conference coming up later this month. The topics are of universal interest, but cropped up during the Borrowed Identities project when various European students met up in Ireland for a fortnight of intercultural learning. Firstly, let's go absolutely yours and say thank you to Marcia and Agnes for listening in and leaving a comment on our last ACIL show. Nice to hear from you after the event. Thanks also to Dennis Frederiksen, who gave us lots of leads to follow up regarding the intriguing concept of cultural intelligence. We'll be sure to follow these up and we'll let you know when we have something to share with you about that topic. What about you? If you have an idea, a comment, a criticism, or a suggestion, then why not go to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and let us know. Even better, you could send us your comment as an audio file to contact@absolutely-intercultural.com, and we could then include it as part of the show. Now let's go absolutely Irish, and here I'm not talking about green souvenirs or drinking a pint of Guinness. Instead, I'm talking about the Irish language Gaelic, whose future is hanging in the balance. All over the world, people are learning English mainly for practical economic reasons, but could something be lost if English is at the expense of the local language? Tom Johnston is a former teacher in ACIL on the west coast of Ireland, where Gaelic has been the native language. What's the situation now? Reike and Kirsten, two of the Borrowed Identity students, went to find out.
And were you a teacher?
I'm a retired teacher.
Is Gaelic obligatory in primary school
It
now?
Is, yes.
Everywhere in
Everywhere
Ireland?
In the country, yes. Mm-hmm. It is. You see, it's our official language and it was spoken here, but you see, due to our past history, famine, immigration, people of Ireland had to go to mostly to English-speaking countries. Mm-hmm. So and of course the fact that we were under England, the official
yeah.
language, and Gaelic was not taught in schools under English rule. In fact,
mm-hmm.
kids were punished for using the language. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is happening now, though, is it's dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
English is coming in, the power of television, the power of English in the media and the newspapers. So what is happening is now that the big movement is coming from the cities and the towns of Ireland. Every town in Ireland have what we call a Gael Skell.
Mm-hmm.
Skell is the Gaelic for school. Gael Skell is a school where everything is taught in Gaelic. Dublin City has several of them. And there's this great push that people want their children to have the language because, you see, the language is our identity.
Yeah.
And our culture, everything is buried in that language. And if we lose that language, we lose a lot of our self-identity. And it's important. Now, sadly, until about 40 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we were depending on immigration. We hadn't enough work for all our people. That changed. So people started to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And had we got full employment 50, 60, 80 years ago, we would have arrested the decline of the language. Because I remember when I started teaching and when I came back here to teach in 1960, I was asked by a parent to teach his children English because they would be immigrating to England and he wanted them to be fluent in that language.
That's
which was very understandable. Whereas that was the obstacle in the teaching the language. There wasn't a practical reason to learn it. It was practical to learn English
mm-hmm.
to be able to advance in America or England or Australia where
mm-hmm.
Irish people went. And so, in the late years then, for instance, here in Achill, there's a huge emphasis. We have a preschool where everything is taught in Gaelic for children from 2.5 mm-hmm. to 4. Our schools are virtually all Gaelic schools.
And when kids are born, is it only depending on the family?
And there are schemes, the government has schemes for families who speak Gaelic. They give them special grants. It's only nominal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Gaelic Speaking Scheme, but it didn't work very well. But you see, what's happening then, taking a community like Achill, where you have intermarriage,
mm-hmm.
people going out to marry someone from England or wherever, and they're bringing the English with them, and you cannot force the language. You must. But again, Mary here is teaching tomorrow. When is your class?
She's teaching a class tonight.
And she's going to get beginners. Many people from England living here, they want to learn. And then she has improvers, those who have the language, they want to improve it. And as well, then we have a university diploma course going
on. I
have
German on my class. One German lady.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. So.
It's funny because my good friend in Germany, he's studying Celtology.
Celtic studies,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And he's studying the Gaelic language too.
Which Gaelic? Is it Irish or Scots? Or
I'm not sure.
See, you have the Celtic languages, you have Gaelic, the Gaelic language, and Manx, what's spoken until recently on the Isle of Man, and Scots, the Highlands of Scotland there. That's the one language. They were the later Celts that came. Then the other Celts came from another part of Europe, and they settled in Brittany, in France, in Cornwall and in Wales. It's very strong in Wales. 50% of Welsh people speak Welsh at home. That is great. And you know, we could learn from them. Here they are on the doorstep of London, at the centre of power, and yet, whether it's the fact that they want to be different, you know, they want to say, this is our, we are Welsh, and they're a very proud nation. I wish we had the same pride. I think your language would flourish much better.
So pride is an important element in keeping a language alive. And so too, it turns out, is music. You may recall hearing the haunting song The Island on this podcast last year. It's not traditional, but it was written by an Irishman, and one of the activities for our visiting students this year was to learn this song from Kate so that they could perform it at our final evening event. As we'll hear later, music is a way of maintaining and passing on traditions. So let's go absolutely musical and hear how they're doing.
Children dying in the street.
Women and children dying in the street.
Now we're still allotted in our own place. Still trying to reach the future through the past.
Still trying to reach the future through the past.
Still trying to carve tomorrow from a tombstone.
Still trying to carve tomorrow from a tombstone.
But hey, don't listen to me. This wasn't meant to be no sad song.
This wasn't meant to be no sad song.
We've heard too much of that before.
We've heard too much of that before.
Right now I only want to be here with you.
Right now I only want to be.
Till the morning dew comes falling.
Till the morning dew comes falling.
I want to take you to the island.
I want to take you to the island.
And trace your footprints in the sand.
And trace your footprints in the sand.
And in the evening when there's no one around, or when the sun goes down, see? When the sun goes down, we'll make love to the sound of the ocean.
We'll make love to the sound of the ocean.
Do you want to do that again?
Okay, well, it sounds as though they need a little more practice. Just as much as ACL seems to have become part of the annual calendar, so does the Intercultural Management Institute conference each March. 2009 marks the 10th anniversary of the Washington conference and promises to be the best yet, so if you haven't already booked your place, then I suggest you hurry. We're hoping to be able to bring you some highlights from the conference in a few weeks, but to get the full flavour, you really ought to attend in person. So what can be done to preserve a language? Let's once again go absolutely Irish and find out more from Tom Johnston.
And can you say how many people speak it at home in Ireland?
Well, according to the last census, you would have 500,000 speaking it at home. For instance, particulars about these people, what language do they speak, the different... So the fact that we have Polish people now, and we have Lithuanians, we have people from
Hungary.
Hungary, yes, we have. And in ACL, for instance, we have more than 40 Polish people working. Mm-hmm. Working in shops, working in on works and work and in the community and being part of the community. In schools in Ireland now, we have to adopt a policy of integration with these people, because this was something new. Until 20 years ago, we did not know. We were a monocultural nation. We'd only the one culture. But now with these people coming from different countries, they're bringing their language with them, their culture. And then when their children come to school, they have to be assimilated into the system. So schools have policies so that they can be incorporated.
Now, is language the main way of keeping the tradition, or music is taking over? Because
well,
I know you're
we
have
to,
in
music.
Music
is
so,
very strong.
Yeah.
You see, what happened in many parts of Ireland, the language disappeared, but the music did not.
Mm-hmm.
And the tradition of music and singing and dancing, the old type, very, very strong. And places like Cork, now West Cork, where the language disappeared, but the music goes back for centuries, yes.
And do they sing in Gaelic?
They do, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, like we most...
And is it still the way that father is passing the knowledge over to son, or
that's right.
more are there
well,
recordings?
We are, yes, indeed, we have recordings. In fact, at the beginning of the last century, 1900s, when we realized that the language was
moving,
was ebbing, organizations were founded to make sure that we would document
mm-hmm.
and that the language, the stories, the songs. And what happened was they sent people around. I remember my grandfather, who never spoke English. He did not. My grandparents did not speak English. Very difficult to put a sentence
mm-hmm.
together. But I remember people coming, scholars, and recording stories and his songs. He was a singer. And all those are in what we call in the Folklore Commission. It was called the Folklore Commission. And they are in the archives in University College in Dublin. So you can go in there and you can ask for some person who gave stories or who gave songs, and they're all there. And they're a wonderful source of study and research for students.
We already have an appointment with them.
mm-hmm.
I was looking for actually a language school in Dublin where we can learn Gaelic, but they are really rare.
Really, they are. There are more language schools for teaching English to non-nationals.
Yes,
yes.
And absolutely.
And those who do that, if you want those classes, you can contact any branch of Conru na Gaeilge. Conru na Gaeilge is the Gaelic League.
Yeah.
That was founded in about 1893, when they saw immigration and the language and the culture and the traditions were all disappearing with people immigrating and people dying. And they're the ones who founded the commission, the Folklore Commission, and collected all those songs. But there's in every part, we have one here, we have a branch of Conru na Gaeilge. If you were here, you'd be welcome. If you were living here, you could come once a week to our Irish class, free, gratis, and for nothing.
Sounds really good.
Yeah. And but in Castlebar, for instance, the weekly classes, they have what we call language circles,
mm-hmm.
where they go to a pub, all go to this pub tonight, it's all Gaelic, and where they're having a pint of Guinness and a sing-song, everything is through Gaelic. We have them here as well. Once a month, we come together just to have conversations and singing and...
Well, I hope that you heard something that was new for you. Do you live in an area where the native language is threatened? Is anything being done to save your language? Should we be saving languages in the same way that we try to preserve animal and plant species? If you have any comments about this or any of our other content, then do let us know. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on March the 20th. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.